brought to you by Penguin.
You Again by Kate Goldbeck, read by Kristen Di Mercurio.
In memory of Laura Myers, it's all a process. 2014. 1.
Excuse me, sir?
Ari stands her ground, feet shoulder-width apart on the sidewalk in front of the Brooklyn Museum.
I know that someone who waited 10 minutes for a $6 cold brew has the time to stop and talk to me about protecting the second largest bobcat habitat in New Jersey.
Always best to start with a provocation. None of that, do you have a moment, crap. No pedestrian in this city has a moment for a canvasser. The tall man in sunglasses, expensive jeans, and a dark sweater, slightly hunched from the weight of a large backpack, slows down, not quite to a full stop. He glances at her neon vest and binder, realizing his mistake a half second too late.
I'm on a fucking call,
he snaps, angling his body to route around her. It's fine. Ari is used to people faking calls to avoid engaging with her. She takes a step to the right, blocking his path again. She needs one more donation to make quota, so Tall Sweater Nightmare Man can give her 20 seconds to make the case for the Bobcats.
Can I have a sip?
She reaches toward his cold brew cup with a minimalist blue bottle logo.
I've had a super long day out here.
This trick, passed down from Gabe, her coworker with benefits, works about 20% of the time, which is a phenomenal success rate in the business of pestering strangers for no fun and little profit.
Unfucking believable!
He lifts the cup out of her reach and jaywalks across Eastern Parkway, turning his head to look back at her and scowl. Or maybe to ensure she's not following him. When Gabe told their improv class about the lucrative opportunities with Proactivate, he'd assured them that they'd become accustomed to constant brush-offs, the lack of eye contact, the utter rejection.
It's good practice for comedy, he'd said, and it pays better.
Everything pays better than comedy. But at least on stage you can flop in front of dozens of people at once. 10 efficient minutes of agony. On the street, it's like extending your hand every 30 seconds and getting one of those extra painful envelope paper cuts in return. Something, something, the definition of insanity. Ostensibly, Ari moved to New York to pursue comedy. When she met Gabe, one of the charismatic leaders of the sketch comedy theater where Ari had planted her flag 4 months ago, he'd spun tales of casting agents frequenting open mics and late-night encounters with Daily Show writers. He'd become a hero and a crush. What Gabe neglected to mention is that most of those encounters occurred while he worked the register at the noodle place down the block from the studio. On the drizzly walk home, she keeps an eye out for one last chance to make her donation quota. The woman with the promotional umbrella, letting her Yorkie pee on a flower bed? The stocky man with a gingery beard and thick frame glasses, waiting in the doorway of a bar on Washington Avenue? But neither feels likely. Resigned, Ari turns to head toward home. When she responded to Natalie's posting on Craigslist, looking for someone to sublet the cozy second bedroom in her Prospect Heights adjacent apartment, Ari quickly discovered it was actually a 25-minute walk from Prospect Heights.
The room is technically considered a closet, Nat had explained when Ari came to look at it, but there's already a lofted twin bed in there and a desk would totally fit.
The desk didn't fit, but living with Natalie was definitely preferable to Ari's last living situation, which was a futon in a friend's cousin's living room, especially tonight. Natalie spent the weekend in the Hamptons, and she won't be back until late. The apartment will be luxuriously empty, the perfect opportunity for Ari to use her noisiest vibrator. That was the plan, anyway.
Guess who met quota standing outside whole paycheck?
Gabe is leaning against the front.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?